few weeks ago, all I wanted was some myrrh. I've got enough frankincense, but I thought I needed some more myrrh.
Gold? You didn't want
gold? No. Just myrrh. Now I want Bitcoin. I don't know what it is. I just know that today it's worth over $17,000 for a Bitcoin, and not that long ago it was worth less than a penny. All right? It makes absolutely no sense to me at all. We searched high and low, and we found Jamie Peters. She's an assistant professor of finance at Illinois Wesleyan University, and she joins us in the studio. Happy holidays.
It's nice to be here.
Have you ever gone mining for Bitcoin?
No, I am not that good at computers.
All right. So forget the mining for now. This is a conversation I've had with many of my friends over the last couple of weeks with this thing just skyrocketing, Bitcoin skyrocketing. And the question always is, why is it worth anything? Who is backing Bitcoin? And I said, well, who backs the U.S. dollar? It used to be gold. It used to be silver, right?
It used to be, yes. We used to be on the gold standard.
But it's not anymore.
No, it's backed by the U.S. government, by the taxing power of the U.S. government.
All right. So we've got that. But the government can just print up more money.
Yes, it can. And that is not true with Bitcoin. That is the purpose of it. In fact, Bitcoin was originally created as a protest against the idea of a Federal Reserve.
All right. So take us through the history of Bitcoin, if you can.
Sure. 2009. An anonymous person called Satoshi Nakamoto, which is an alias, we don't know who that actually is, created a computer program out there that would create a fictional currency. I'm not really saying fictional, but online currency. And basically you have to solve really complex mathematical problems. And when you do so, you get an award, at the time, 100 bitcoins. It has halved a couple of different times. And so now if you would create the same mathematical problems and solve them, you get 12 and a half bitcoins. But what happens is that it's extremely complex and they keep making it harder and harder to mine bitcoins. And on average, bitcoins are mined once every 10 minutes. And so we have a limited supply of an online currency.
So when they're mining bitcoins, they get an entire bitcoin. They don't get a fraction of a bitcoin.
No, you can get both an entire bitcoin, like 12 and a half right now. You can also create transaction fees because what you're actually mining are creating other transactions involving Bitcoin.
You still with this?
Yeah, I know.
Heads are spinning.
So you can actually also charge transaction fees associated with it, kind of like you paying your
$3
at the ATM.
Transaction fee.
Yeah, and it's actually called a Satoshi, which is the first name of the guy who created Bitcoin, and it's one millionth of a Bitcoin.
All right. So he started this in what year?
2009.
2009. And this guy was the first guy to purchase with Bitcoin. He made an online purchase.
He bought two Papa John's pizzas for something like 10,000
Bitcoin. 10,000
Bitcoin.
Because it was worth less than a penny then.
Yes.
In 2009.
Yes.
Today it's worth 17,000 plus.
Yes, but in July it was only worth 6,000.
So why? Why is it worth so much more today than it was in July?
Well, up until probably...
What's driving it?
Demand. Artificial demand. Let's be honest. Everybody I know has heard about Bitcoin. I'm here this morning because you've heard about Bitcoin. My husband flew to Dallas last week. The taxi driver asked him about Bitcoin. I have students who have purchased a Bitcoin.
Really?
I have technology guys who are thinking about the futures. It now trades, by the way, on the CBOE as a future. So there's now derivatives associated with Bitcoin pricing.
So somebody's taking it seriously. Was it the CBOE, the Chicago Board?
The Chicago Board of Trade.
Yeah.
Or of Exchange, sorry. Yes.
Mercantile Exchange? The Chicago Board of Exchange? Anyway, somebody's taking it seriously. So the whole futures thing is you're basically gambling on how much you think a Bitcoin's going to be worth in next July?
Exactly. That's exactly what it does. It allows you to hedge the value of your Bitcoin.
Which in sum, is that much different than the stock market from the fact that you purchase a stock with the – and I get there's a difference from the standpoint of what a stock means to a business, but we individuals make those investments in an effort to grow financially. So you speculate, if you will, to buy a stock in the hopes that it's going to go up. Is some of this speculation?
That's exactly what is driving the current growth in Bitcoin pricing, is that speculation. And it has every sign of being a bubble. You know, we've got Warren Buffett, Jamie Dimon, Alan Greenspan, some really big names in finance saying that this is a bubble and they won't touch it with a 10-foot pole and that they should get out. Jamie Dimon said he would fire any of his traders who are caught trading Bitcoin.
But if it started out as a protest against what these guys are all about.
It's an interesting idea. The problem is what it's actually used for in the real world. Up until July, this was really used and traded on what's called the dark web. It was mainly used because you cannot trace who owns the Bitcoin. What you get is something called a private key, which is this really, really long password and username that is not necessarily connected to you or me. It's not like you fill out a little template of okay, put in a user ID and what's your name and what's your address. That's not the way this works. This is very much untraceable. And as a result, it's very popular with drug dealers and very popular with potentially damaging regimes like we've suggested that North Korea likes Bitcoin.
Wow.
So if I had one Bitcoin,
you'd have $17,000 right now.
Who's going to pay me the $17,000?
Well, you can go to, there's a bank in Boston that will cash it for you if you want it.
Really?
Yeah. PayPal will accept Bitcoin now. But what you won't find is a lot of legitimate banks accepting Bitcoin. In fact, if you live in Australia and you are related to Bitcoin, you'll actually see the banks will shut down your bank account because they don't want to be associated with the criminality associated with Bitcoin.
And somebody, Sam Wood, our afternoon guy, said there's ATM in town that works with Bitcoin.
That's a new one for me. But yeah, I guess that could potentially work. I'm not sure an ATM is loaded with enough right now.
No, because you can only, take out $500, I think, at a time?
Yeah, not
$17,000. And you'd have to stand there how long putting in your,
that
your
is
PIN
true.
Number? I'll be here a couple of days. Hold on a second.
Yeah, the PIN or the password is extremely long, right?
Yes, it's extremely long. It's supposed to be, I guess, the equivalent of what you said, 17 words or something like that. It's
a 14-word phrase I read. And the reason I knew this was because I saw a story this morning where a guy was robbed of his Bitcoin. They held a gun to his head, give us the password. Then they went to his house and ended up with a lot of money.
So what's actually interesting is that, you know, speaking from the economic development portion of it, hedge funds have been funding businesses to mine Bitcoin or to create peripheral items around Bitcoin. Mm. So there are companies that will give you a little tiny thing that will fit in your wallet that will hold your Bitcoin information so that you can carry it around like a dollar bill. There are other companies that will help you with the transactions associated with it to make it a lot more smoother to go ahead and spend your Bitcoin. So there's actually a lot of smaller legitimate companies that have been developed around the idea of being able to use Bitcoin as an everyday currency. And people shouldn't be terribly afraid of this because most of the money that you have these days isn't in physical form. You get your money direct deposited to your bank account, you spend it on your credit card, and you then automatically pay your credit card bill from your bank account. You never see the physical dollar. So in that situation, Bitcoin isn't any more scary than the dollar bill. I think I've scared you, though.
I can't wrap my head around this. Because I know a dollar in 1960... is worth, you know, the equivalent today is, you know, $17.
So now you're getting back to inflation. And there is inflation, obviously, in Bitcoin because it can now buy $17,000 worth of goods compared to two pizzas 8 years ago. Yeah. But that's more supply and demand. So when we go back to the original idea of it being a protest against Federal Reserves, the idea is that the U.S. government, the, you know, Bank of England and the Central Bank of the European Union, they all manipulate their security. They manipulate interest rates. They manipulate the money supply. And Bitcoin was partly a protest against that idea. So they said, we're going to, this is how it's going to be issued. There's going to be a limit of 21 million, and we're going to let the market float up and down with it. And even in the very early points of Bitcoin, they warned you, there's probably going to be bubbles. And right now, it looks like there is definitely a bubble. They had a Big Bang Theory episode purely about Bitcoin the other week. I heard that Grey's Anatomy had an episode where they held the hospital hostage for Bitcoin. So it's obviously become a part of the current popular media. And that worries me because that means that potentially people who should not be in it are investing in it hoping for to get rich quick. And that is usually a way to lose a lot of money.
The dot-coms of a few years ago where everybody jumped in. So what happens, in theory, what happens when they max the out on the amount of Bitcoins available?
So people can still mine at that point because you are creating transactions. It's called a chain block or blockchain, sorry.
Blockchain.
And you will get only transaction fees. It's kind of like going ahead and continuing the process in exchange for ATM fees. So it won't stop, but it will mean that there is a limited supply. 21 million Bitcoins will have been issued and there will be no more, which should suggest that over time, one Bitcoin should be worth more, you know, 5 years afterwards and then 10 years and 20 years because there is no more made. It's artificial scarcity.
The EDC had, we had a company come in out of Chicago recently, and that was when I first sat with my eyes glazed over listening to blockchain, and they wanted to, they were coming down here to put these devices in, mining devices, down here particularly because the location had the air conditioning quality that they needed and the energy cost, which these are extremely high energy users, as I understand it, is cheaper here.
You should see some of the pictures on the web. There are entire Bitcoin farms in places like Iceland where it is just an entire room of computers with computing power that is absorbing massive quantities of electricity. It's one of the things that people are arguing is bad for the environment. Bitcoin is bad for the environment because of how much electricity it uses.
I need to see a movie.
Somebody I'm sure there will be one day.
Now, somebody tried to explain, because you talk about there's it's not infinite. There's a set amount. What was it? 21
million.
21 million. And somebody was trying to explain this to me. I've had many people try to explain it to me. There's a limited amount of gold available.
Yes.
Why is gold worth what it is? And I said, I don't know. I don't care about gold.
Well,
why is gold worth what it is?
Gold is worth what it is because that's what the supply – it's a supply and demand.
Right.
It goes back to basic economics. Gold is useful, though. I mean, it. I believe it can conduct electricity, or maybe it's the other way around. It doesn't conduct electricity. And so there's uses industrial
technology.
And technology. Yep. It makes my very pretty ring on my finger. It has some sort of store of value. And since there is a limited supply and it's very expensive to mine, which honestly, Bitcoin's getting a lot more expensive to mine, there is value there. And that's the same thing. That's the same thing is true with oil and everything else. There are other uses for it. The other use for Bitcoin is a medium of exchange.
So if you had Bitcoin, would you sell yours today at $17,000?
Yes. I'm a chicken, though. I probably would have sold it back in July for $6,000.
Why aren't we seeing that happen? Why, I mean, what do these people think there's it's obviously going to go up even higher?
So there's arguments associated with
it.
It jumped $2,000 on Monday, the first day that those futures traded. So there is just a lot of advertising and stuff like that. Some people are Ponzi scheme. Now, it's not, because a Ponzi scheme requires fraud. It's an individual who is profiting and potentially and who created this. That is not what this is. It is probably a bubble. But we're starting to get to the outer limits associated with it. When the taxi driver in Dallas is thinking about buying it, and when my student is thinking about buying it, we are getting to the point where there's nobody left to buy it back from somebody else. And eventually it will probably go quite a bit down. It's not probably going to go drop back down to 10,000 Bitcoins for two pizzas.
Oh, if I bought some, it would.
But it will go down quite a bit. And the other thing to think about is just a little bit of ethics associated with it. Most of the Bitcoin is probably still held into the hands of drug dealers and other things like that. So imagine the fact that if you're buying one right now, you are enriching the people who are creating societal damage.
And the government's not are they collecting tax on this in any way? I guess once
they hate that.
Yeah. Unless they cash it in and now you spend that money, they can, you know, it's sales tax, I guess.
If you cash it in, now there's a transaction of who owns the Bitcoin. If you're opening a brokerage account in an attempt to go and buy a Bitcoin, there is a transaction connecting you to the Bitcoin. It's these offshore, I'm buying Bitcoin through an anonymous thing, through 12 different computers. There's no way you're going to find me. And that's probably where the majority of the Bitcoin actually is, that the governments cannot tax, cannot see, cannot trace.
All right. Helped a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did I scare you at least?
No. Are you scared? I'm not scared.
I wasn't even thinking of it, but I would be even more hesitant now to jump into something like that.
We kind of drove it home. You said, don't be afraid of it, because what we do today, we don't touch money for the most part.
We just talked yesterday about the fact that a lot of credit cards are going to stop making you sign because it really doesn't serve any purpose. Your card does it all now.
All right. Jamie Peters, Assistant Professor of Finance at Illinois Wesleyan University. We're going to call on you again.
Thank you.
Because the Fed just raised their rates, and we could go a half hour on that.
Yes, we could.
Are they going to?
They're going to.
Yeah. All right. And that makes the banks happy because they can charge more. See, I kind of get that.
And yet they don't give it to you.
No, they don't.
That's my wheelhouse. I'd be happy to talk to you about it all day long.
All right. Well, perhaps another day.
Yes.
Thanks for coming in, Jamie. Appreciate it. Nice meeting you.